several things I want to say in the message tonight that are, I believe, relevant to the subject at hand. We'll try just to be led of the Lord. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13, the Bible said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." John 3:16 was quoted in Sunday school. And think about this. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him," now watch this, "should not perish, but have eternal life," everlasting life. It's called eternal life in the prior verse. And it's the same thing. It's the life that God gives. God gives everlasting life. God gives eternal life. The Bible said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I don't know about you, but the older I get, I guess the more I appreciate the gift of God. Because that's what's going to make sure and see to it that we reach the shore safely. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You tonight for the good service thus far, the sweet spirit, the good singing. God, I pray tonight that You would help this preacher to be a help to our people tonight. And Father, we praise You tonight for Your goodness and for Your mercy. And God, we pray tonight that You'll just continue to strengthen, continue to help. Lord, comfort where comfort needs to be, convict where conviction needs to be. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that You just take this chapter. And may, Lord, You change us, help us. And God, we'll give You glory for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I began this morning preaching on the subject of blessed assurance out of 1 John chapter number 5. In this congregation this morning, when we ask for a show of hands, everybody except maybe four or five individuals have fought battles with doubts somewhere along the way. I was thinking this afternoon, after that I talked with Sister Amanda this morning after the service, I was thinking about where the doubts come from sometimes and what happens. And one of the things I wanted to say in the onset of the message tonight, that the Apostle Paul said this. He said, "And they, comparing themselves with themselves, were not wise." Now, how many knows what the opposite of being wise is? It's being foolish. Brother Joe, I love you, but it would be foolish for me to try to compare myself with you to see whether I saved or not. Or listen to Brother Joe's testimony and try to compare my testimony with his testimony to see whether I saved or not. That's not the way it works. Amen. And that's what causes a lot of doubts. A preacher will testify, or somebody in the congregation will testify. And then all of a sudden you say, "Well, I don't remember things like this. I don't remember what I prayed. I don't remember what I said." Nowhere in the Bible did it say we were saved by praying. It said we prayed because we believed. We call on the Lord because we believed on the Lord. We got saved because we believed. And calling on the Lord was just an evidence that we believed. A baptism is never going to save anybody, but that's supposed to be, when it's right, an evidence that we believed. Amen? An outward sign of something that's taken place on the inside. It's saying, "I'm tired of my old life. I want to be buried in the likeness of His death, and I want to be raised in the likeness of His resurrection." I'll tell you something right now. If a person doesn't want to walk in the newness of life, they don't need to be baptized. Say amen. I mean, if they want to walk the same old way, talk the same old talk, amen, do the same old things, they shouldn't be baptized, amen. As a matter of fact, you go on like that very long, you ought to be born again. That's what ought to happen, amen. Because the Bible said, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things are become new." So I can remember. You say, "Preacher, how come you spent 6.5 years in a church without being saved?" I can look back now and tell you. It's because I was deceived. I had a mental assent to the facts of the Bible. I've been taught since I was a little boy that Jesus died. How many can remember that you believed that when you were a little boy or a little girl? And that He rose again. And that the Bible was the truth. How many believed that before you ever got saved? So what I'm trying to tell you is that you can have a head knowledge and a mental assent to the facts of the Scripture and not know Jesus in your heart. I'll say this. That's where the Pharisees were. They had a head knowledge, amen, of that Old Testament Scripture that was pointing them to the Lamb of God, and they were blind. They didn't see it, amen. And so when I got in church and people started testifying of when they got saved, I didn't have anything like that in my life. I had never admitted I was a sinner. Everybody got saved. You became a sinner before you became a saint. Amen. God convicted you of your sin, showed you that you were a sinner, and then you came to the Savior. Blessed assurance. We talked about it this morning, just briefly. 34 times in the book of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the word know or the word known is used 34 times. God wants us to know. The Holy Spirit wants us to know. God the Father wants us to know. And God the Son wants us to know. Blessed assurance is found in a person. And then it's found in a power. There's a power to love in 1 John chapter 5. There's power to obey in 1 John chapter 5. And there's power to overcome. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. But by the way, listen to this. The Bible said in Romans chapter 6, it said, sin shall not have dominion over you. How many believes that's right? That doesn't mean that a child of God's perfect. As a matter of fact, if you start preaching that, we would have to call you a liar. Because the Bible said if a man says he's without sin, he's a liar. And the truth is not in him. Amen? But what it does mean, it means that if we've been born again, that no longer are we living under the reign of sin. Amen? Sin does not have dominion over you. Remember what Jesus said? He said, he whom the Son sets free is free. Somebody tell me the word. Indeed. Amen. The Son shall make you free, and you shall be free indeed. So it's found in a person. It's found in a power. Brother Joe said something to me after church this morning. I said it for 10 years when I was preaching in the prison systems. The prisons are full. I mean full of religion. There's every ism that you can think of behind the prison walls. And you know, there was a time here in the Bible Belt, you didn't have to worry too much about the isms. But the isms are coming in too. Amen. There was a time here in the Bible Belt, you didn't have to worry too much about some of the sin that's prevalent in our day. Amen. But here it is. Amen. It was in Baltimore 20 years ago, but it's here today. It was in Los Angeles 30 years ago, but it's here today. Amen. Let me just say this to you. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Now listen, blessed assurance, it's found in a person. It's found in a power. What did you say to those men in prison, preacher? Here's what I said. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about relationship. Amen. When the Bible says you must be born again, that doesn't mean you get all of a sudden get some kind of religion. There was a day that old timers, I said old timers, used to say so-and-so got religion and it meant something. Amen. What it really meant was, is they got saved by the grace of God. It meant they wasn't a drunkard anymore. It meant they wasn't a whoremonger anymore. It meant they wasn't living in adultery, shacking up anymore. But nowadays, I believe with all my heart, you got a whole lot of religion that's empty. Amen. The Bible talked about in the book of James, pure and undefiled religion. But there's a whole lot of impure and defiled religion in this generation that we live in. Amen. So we're not talking about religion. You're never going to get blessed assurance through religion. Let me just tell you something right now. The Baptists will never give you blessed assurance. Only Jesus can give an individual blessed assurance. You're not going to get it at the Baptist church or the Methodist church or any of the other churches. Amen. Only Jesus can give blessed assurance. I believe that. And let me just say this while it's on my heart. Then we'll get right on into the message. Our Lord would never, never be guilty of giving someone assurance that's not been born again. What would that make him? That would make him a deceiver. Amen. God could never, ever give someone assurance that has not been born again. And he wouldn't do that. Amen. There's no way that he would do that. So blessed assurance, number one, it's found in a person. Number two, it's found in a power. Number three, it's found in a prayer life. You say, preacher, where did you get that in this chapter? Jump on down with me, please. In verse number 14. The Bible said, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, look at here again, the word know. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now let me say something to you. How many understands that when we get away from a prayer life, we have a tendency to get away from blessed assurance? In other words, blessed assurance is found in a person. It's found in Jesus. It's found in a power. But it's found in a prayer life. Amen? Why in the world would God's people not want to have a prayer life? And let me say this. If we'll be honest, like we were this morning with the doubts, I may say, listen, my flesh, this world, and that old devil fights me having a prayer life. Amen? I'm telling you, you just mark it down. You say, preacher, why does the enemy hate a praying believer? Because that's where the power is. That's what's going to change things, amen, when we pray to the God of heaven. It's found in a prayer line. I believe, listen, let me give you a couple things real quickly right here. Number one, the Bible is teaching that we ought to pray with confidence. The Bible said this is the confidence that we have in him. How many knows what happens if we pray and we don't believe? We're double-minded. We're unstable in all of our ways. Read it over there in the book of James. Amen. God don't want us just to call on him. God wants us to develop a prayer life and a confidence in him, and knowing that if we ask anything according to his will, knowing that he heareth us. Amen. Now let me ask you something right now. Let me ask you this. How many knows that the devil wants to fight that confidence in our prayer life? He wants us to think, well, he ain't listening to you. He don't want you to get close to him. He don't want you to believe him. I'm telling you what's the truth. I believe with all my heart there's things in the lives of the people in this church that only God can do. And it's time to bombard the throne of grace, and not just with words, but with a heart that says, Lord, I'm confident that you can do what needs to be done. You hung the world in its place. You spoke the stars into existence, and you hung the world in its place, and you can do what needs to be. Pray with confidence. Pray with confidence. I've got a little illustration, and I've shared it here before. I remember that. I don't know exactly when, but it makes for a good illustration. My little grandson, Josh, he's been here before, and his older brother, Jordan. Jordan was 4 years old, and Josh was about 2 years old. And Josh has some pretty bad problems breathing, asthma at times, and things like that. Well, Josh had pneumonia. And at the time, my daughter was staying. We fixed her place to live in the basement of my house. And it's probably the length of the basement's about from here to the wall over there. That's about the portion of the basement where they were. And I was laying on the bed over there, and Jordan was laying on the bed with me. And over here was my daughter, and she was changing Josh. And Josh was wheezing, and it was so loud that I could hear it laying over there. It was scaring me, because they done told my daughter we would put him in the hospital, but there's no room. There's not a bed anywhere. Amen. So they gave him some high-powered drugs and injection, sent him home. And he had to go back the next day for a shot, and the next day for a shot. And they were doctoring him, and he had a pneumonia. And I'm laying over there on the bed, and I said to Jordan, we really need to pray for Joshy, honey. And Jordan said, you pray, Papa. And I'm telling you, I didn't get up and get on my knees, but I laid there. And I can remember like it was yesterday, talking to the God of heaven. And I can remember the tears rolling down off of both cheeks as I was asking the Lord to help little Joshy and to heal little Joshy and touch little Joshy. And I tell you, Jordan was laying there with me. And when I got done praying, this is what I'll never forget. Jordan jumped up off the bed, and he's clumsy as an ox. I mean, if the boy has to be coordinated to make a living, he'll starve to death. I can tell you that right now. But he took out across that basement. You know, don't you, Michael? You've had him back there, ain't you? Amen. Jordan took out across that basement, and he ran over from over there over here to his little brother, and he said, Joshy, you feel better? You know what I believe? I believe that four-year-old youngin had a little bit more confidence than his papa did in his prayer life. Say amen right there. I tell you, God wants us to get back, amen, to that. Listen, if you want assurance in your life, to pray with confidence, amen, that the God of heaven knows what we need, even before we ask. But he said, ask, and you shall receive. What a blessing. What a blessing. We ought to pray. It's found in a prayer line. Teach us to pray, Lord. Pray with confidence. Secondly, we ought to pray with consistency. You say, preacher, what do you mean? The Bible said that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Let me ask you this. The Bible gives us some things about the will of God in prayer. It does. Praying, what's the next word? Always. With all prayer and supplication. How many remembers that? How many remembers this verse? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. So we should not only pray with confidence, but we ought to pray with consistency. How many of you, I've been saved for, let's see, 27 years. How many of you can say, hey, if I look back over my life as a child of God, there's times that I would be absolutely ashamed of the consistency or the lack thereof in my prayer life. I'm telling you, we cannot expect to have blessed assurance apart from a personal walk with Him. Amen. Personal walk with Him. I believe with all my heart God wants us to pray. Get back to praying. Pray with confidence and pray with consistency. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. The Bible said, I believe Brother Brown was teaching on this a little bit this morning. Fits with his lesson. If thou faintest in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. You want to know when our strength is small? When we don't have an altar in our life. When we don't have confidence in our life. And we're not consistent in our prayer life. I was thinking about little Camden. Little Owen. You know what? It's not too early to start praying for their salvation. It's not too early to start praying for the right mate. You know what my grandpa said about a woman? He said, if God made anything any better, He kept it for Himself. And then he said this. He said, there ain't nothing in this world any better than a good woman. And he said, ain't nothing no worse than a bad one. What'd be wrong with just start praying right now for these youngins and grand youngins that God would give them a good woman, amen? That God would help them and lead them, and God would save their soul. Pray with confidence. Pray consistently, amen? And then pray with compassion. Let me show you something right here. The Lord showed me this, and I tell you, it blessed my heart last night. Look here at verse number 16. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. How many understands that according to the Bible, there is a sin unto death? And the Bible said, Brother Joe, don't even pray for that. I'm telling you, this is not preached, it's not taught, but I'm telling you, we serve a holy God, and I'm telling you, there are some lines that you better not cross over. I believe God has some deadlines. Amen. And I believe it's possible to sin a sin unto death. But listen, what God's looking for is some people that will pray and have compassion in their prayer life on those that have sinned, but that's not a sin unto death. Believe that God can help them. I'll tell you this right now. God wants us to understand we can have blessed assurance. It's not found in an organization. It's found in an organism. The person of the Lord Jesus. God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son. It's found in power. Power to love, power to obey, power to overcome. But it's found in a prayer life. God wants us to pray with confidence. God wants us to pray with consistency. And God wants us to pray with compassion. You know something, I believe? Some of us have some backgrounds that aren't too pretty. Say amen. The Bible said, whom the Lord forgiveth much, the same, help me, loveth much. Amen. And I'm telling you, I believe that a person that's never been involved in a whole lot of this world, thank God for that testimony. Thank God, my friend, listen, but if you're not careful, you'll become a little pharisaical about your prayer life. And you'll begin to think, you know, what's the matter with them? I tell you what's the matter with them. They've been bitten by a sin snake. Amen. And we ought to have compassion on them and pray for them. That's what the Bible is teaching us. I'm glad somebody prayed for me. I'm glad somebody saw something besides a long-haired hippie, a rebel. I'm glad, amen, somebody prayed for me. I'm glad somebody prayed for me. Found in a prayer life. Let me give you this. It's the last thing in the message. Don't get excited right there, but it is the last thing in the message. Look at verse 17. The Bible said, all unrighteousness is, what's that next word? Is sin. Now, let me ask you this. How many understands that the Bible teaches whatsoever is not of faith is that right? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. Is praying doing good? Is prayer a suggestion or is it a commandment? Is God commanding us to pray? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen? I'll tell you what I believe. I believe we can have revival. I really do. But we can't have it apart from prayer. We can't have it apart from depending on God to do it. Amen? And realizing, God, you can do it. You want to do it. And we need you to do it. And talking to him about it. Listen, let's go into this last thing right here. The Bible said, all unrighteousness is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So, let me ask you this question. If my wife tells me that she's going to the grocery store and I feel like it's necessary to get in the car and follow her, did I believe her? I sure didn't, did I? But if my wife tells me she's going to the grocery store and I just kick back somewhere, amen, watch a basketball game, waiting on her to get back with some popcorn, amen, then I believed her. Is that right? I trusted that her word was good. How many's with me on that? You see, the Bible is teaching, my friend, that the only way here, the Bible said these things are written unto you that believe. Another word for believe is trust. God, you didn't tell me something that's not true. You told me something that's true. It's found in a prayer life, but watch this. This is no less important than anything that I've said. It's found in a pure life. Blessed assurance, listen to me carefully, is not going to be enjoyed by someone that is not living a pure life. The devil's always going to be jumping. Amen. What are you doing watching that, saint of God? What are you doing talking like that, saint of God? What are you doing listening to that, saint of God? What are you doing dabbling in that, saint of God? No wonder. Listen to me carefully. If we would all, so many raised their hands this morning, I would about, how many would help me right here? Trace that back to those hours and those days and maybe those weeks and maybe those months. And how many knows that what I just said is true? Without a pure life, it is an impossibility to enjoy blessed assurance. You see, what happens, preacher? Listen, the Bible said your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Now listen to me. Here's where we're at. When we talk about pure life, automatically people start thinking about drinking and drugs and sexual sins and thieving and stuff like that. There's more to a pure life than that. There's not only sins of commission, things that we do that we should not do, but there are sins of omission.
Brother Jeff, you mentioned that in your class this morning. You told the class humbly and honestly. There's a lot of times when I feel like God's wanting me to speak up for Him and I fail Him. Sin, the Bible said, all unrighteousness is sin. If it's unrighteous in the preacher's life, it's still sin. If it's unrighteous in your life, it's still sin. So sometimes we lose our blessed assurance because we're not finding ourselves living a pure life. Let me show you some things right here and I'll be done. Let me say this. You can be doing the right thing, listen to me carefully, for the wrong reason. And the pure life just went away. Easter Sunday's coming. I'm preaching to my Sunday night crowd. Amen. Easter Sunday's coming. How many knows there's going to be a whole lot of people in the house of God, but not for the right reason? I mean, they're going to want you to see their new suit and their new dress and their new hat and their new pocketbook. Amen. And all that other new stuff. Amen. I'm not against new stuff, but I'm just telling you something right now. If God's good on Easter Sunday, He's good on every other Sunday during the year. I'm not going to fuss at the people that come here once a year when they come. I'm going to try to help them when they get here to fall in love with Jesus, amen, and want to come back another Sunday before next Easter. But I'm telling you, it's an impossibility to enjoy blessed assurance apart from a pure life. We can't do it. Can't do it. Now watch this. He said here, all unrighteousness sin is sin. There is a sin not unto the dead. Now watch this. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Oh, you say, preacher, you made a statement a while ago. And what are you going to do with that statement? I'm going to explain it. I'm going to make sense out of it. The Bible is sensible. Whatsoever is born, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. How many believes the whole world is lying in wickedness? Now, how many believes the world wants us to get in bed with them and lie in the same wickedness? You say, preacher, what do you got here? Let me show you three things quickly. It's found in a pure lie. First of all, you and I as born-again believers are declared positionally pure. What do you mean by that, preacher? We're talking about the inward man. The seed that's on the inside will not, cannot sin. There's a new man in there that cannot sin. You say, preacher, where's the struggle? I tell you where the struggle is. It's between the new man and the old man. That's why the Bible said in Romans chapter 6, reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Positionally. Brother John, are you perfect? You're telling the truth, brother, and I'm not trying to trip anybody up, but positionally you are. In Christ, you're perfect, brother. I mean, if you and I, Brother Wayne, had to give an account of one, just one of the lies that we told, just one, we couldn't go to heaven. Positionally, we're perfect in Christ. I'm telling you, we have been redeemed. Either the blood of Jesus Christ covers all sin, or we're all in trouble. And so, positionally, we're perfect. Amen? Positionally, we're pure. Positionally, we're in Christ. And by the way, that's how He sees us. Amen? Now, let me give you this. The Bible's talking about here, all unrighteousness is sin. It's found, this blessed assurance is found in a person, in a power, in a prayer life, and in a pure life. But I believe with all of my heart. When 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9 and 10, look at it with me for just a minute. The Bible said here, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from, what's that next word? All unrighteousness. The Bible said if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. That's written to God's people. Years ago, there was an old Nazarene preacher. And they believed in sinless perfection here at that time. He said to Brother Mays Jackson, he said, Brother Mays, he said, you're sanctified and don't know it. Brother Mays looked at him. He just had a way with words. He said, yes, bless God, and you're saved forever and don't know it too. Amen. I believe both of them was born again. Amen. I believe both of them were on their way to heaven. But I'm just telling you, my friend, listen, first of all, positionally, we are pure in Christ. I like that song. I don't know, Brother Ralph, if it's around here somewhere. But when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. Now, let me give you something right now. Quickly explain something right here. The blood of Jesus Christ is taking care of all my sin. Past, present, and future. The blood of Jesus Christ is taking care of all my sin. You say, well, preacher, what in the world are you even preaching about it then for? Here's why. Because my relationship is taken care of at Calvary. I have been born again. But my fellowship requires purity and walking with God. And now listen, God wants the fellowship with me so bad, that He says this. He says, all right, I'll speak to you when you get off the path. You can get back in the path or, somebody help me, what's next? Bend over here, son. I got something for you. Yeah. Amen. It's called, Brother Jimmy thought he was going to have to minister a little bit of it a while ago. Amen. What was it he called? He said he was going to lay on hands back there. Amen. It's called chastisement. Now this, a lot of people, when they get around Baptists that preach the security of the believer, they say, I believe you can live any old way. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you know the God I know, you don't want to live any old way. You fear Him. Because He will chasten those whom He loves. And the Word of God says that if a man is without chastisement, he's illegitimate. He's never been born into the family. And so, it's a pure life. God wants us to see that this life, we're already pure positionally. But not only does God want us to be positionally pure, but God wants us to be, watch this now, practically pure. In other words, He wants us to practice holiness. We're living in a generation when you say the word holiness, they act like it's odd or strange. But the Bible, the Word of the living God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. I believe that God wants us to be holy, pure, not just positionally. What a shame it is to be positionally pure and nobody else knows about it. In other words, the ideal is that what's on the inside is supposed to come out on the outside of our lives. That's what the Bible said when it says, let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Positionally pure, yes. Practically pure. Where'd you get it here? Watch this now. In verse number 18, but he that is begotten of God, how many believes God keeps us? Where is that scripture? I believe it's in the book of Peter, isn't it? We're kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed in the last time. How many believes God keeps us? That's just half of the equation. Watch this. He said, keep yourself. Now, wait a minute. You say, preacher, I don't understand. Here it is. It's the difference between being positionally pure and being practically pure. God says, I have a responsibility in this. How many believe He's going to live up to His end? But He said, you have a responsibility too. The Bible said over there in the book of Jude, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Amen. God said, listen, I'm going to keep my end of the bargain. But He said, I want you to walk, not just positionally being pure,
but practically, in a way that others could see. You see, I just don't believe it would be right for me to turn up a brown bottle. You say, preacher, would you still go to heaven? Yeah, but I'd be smelling like hell getting there. Say amen. I've been born again. I believe with all my heart everybody's been born again wants to get away from that that brings disgrace on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So positionally, I'm pure. And because of that, if I really believe that, that doesn't want me to be practicing or practically impure. It wants me to be practicing or practically pure before God and before men. Now, we're not going to perfect it. Say amen. Not here. But how many believes we're supposed to strive for it? Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, we reach forth to those things which are before, and we press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to tell you something right now. There is nothing wrong with desiring with all of our heart to live a life that's holy and pleasing to God. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing. Now listen to me carefully. You say, preacher, I don't understand what this has got to do with assurance. It has everything to do with assurance. No wonder there are questions. Amen? No wonder the ifs come in like a flood. Amen? If we're not living a life that is pure before God. Teenagers, just like adults, they get introduced to this. They get introduced to that. How many knows what I'm talking about? It's on the street. It's in the schools. It's everywhere. Amen. And I'll just go ahead and say this. My wife teaches in a Christian school, but it's even in the Christian school. There are devils over there too. Amen. You can't go anywhere and get away from the devils in this world. They're everywhere. Amen. But I'm telling you something right now. If a person just dives off in that, they said, come on over here and look at this. You just dive off in that and you go that way. And the first thing you know, you don't know if you've been saved or not. Amen. Assurance goes away. Why? Because how in the world could we have blessed assurance without blessed purity and a walk with God? Watch this now. The Bible said here, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. That's our position. He that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. That's our practical life. That's what God wants, the way God wants us to apply our lives. In verse number 21, look at verse 21 for just a minute. This goes back to the second point of being practically pure. The Bible said, little children, keep. Now, wait a minute. Little children. Who was that written to? Was that written to the devil's youngins? In other words, he said, little children, keep yourselves from idols. How many can see a responsibility for us right there? Keep yourselves from idols. Because what happens when we let something come between us and God? We begin to doubt. Hello? And we begin to wonder, is there any basis at all before a walk with God? If we know Him personally, we have a personal walk with God, a personal relationship with Jesus. It's found in a person. We have power to love, power to obey, power to overcome. We find ourselves involved in a prayer life. We're praying with confidence, praying with consistency, praying with compassion. How many knows it's hard for the devil to break in right there? And by the way, you're never going to have this last thing without that third thing. There's never going to be a pure life without a prayer life. Never. Never, ever, ever. Is there going to be a pure life without a prayer life? You say, preacher, why? Because when we're missing a prayer life, we're walking in disobedience. We're already committing a sin. We're already committing iniquity. Let me give you this. Think about this for just a minute. Look at Isaiah 32:17. Just a moment with me. I can't even remember right now. I know God put it in my heart last night. But I have a note written in the margin. I want to look at it. Isaiah 32 and verse number 17. Watch this now. Boy, I tell you what, this is good. Ain't no wonder the Lord wanted me to read this. Look at Isaiah 32 and verse number 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. The work of righteousness is not doubt. The work of righteousness is peace. How many's with me? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to give you what God gave me from chapter 5 in 1 John. If we're working and practically living in righteousness, the work of righteousness shall be peace. Watch this now. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and glory. To God, I didn't even realize that word was there. Quietness and assurance forever. What about that? I say that's blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior once in a while. The Bible said, always want to be rejoice in the Lord, always. Praying always. And again I say, rejoice. Let me give you this tonight. The Bible said, how many is going to memorize that verse? I'm going to memorize it. God's going to help me. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. Let me just say this. When I'm not at peace, something ain't right. Is that fair enough? When I'm not at peace, something ain't right. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Now, I like that. Amen. It's found in a prayer life. It's found in a pure life. Let me give you this tonight. I hope this thrills you like it did me when God gave it to me. Look with me, if you will, here. Not only are we positionally pure and practically pure, but there's coming a day. And we know that the Son of God, look at verse number 20, has come and hath given us an understanding. Now, wait a minute. Jesus, how many believes He came? How many believes He walked this earth, died on an old rugged cross? How many believes that the disciples witnessed it when they seen Him going up? And the two men in white apparel said, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which you see go into heaven, shall so come in like manner. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I'd have told you. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Oh, you say, preacher, what you got on your mind? Well, let me give it to you real quickly. I believe when God saves us, He makes us positionally pure. I believe when we walk in the light as He is in the light, He makes us practically pure. And we have fellowship with Him. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. We have fellowship with Him. We have a relationship with Him. But I believe there's something better than positionally pure. And something better than practically pure. And that is, one day, I'm going to be perfectly pure. You say, preacher, where'd you get that? From that same book I've been preaching out of all day. Amen. The Word of God, the psalmist said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. The Word of God said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Oh, thank God. Listen, we know this, that He's coming. And when we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Perfectly pure. I don't know about you, but I long for that. You know what that means?
battle will be over, Brother Grizzle. Brother Grizzle, you've been in this race a lot longer than I have. And I guarantee you, you'll get sick of the old man too. He's still there, ain't he? But that new man, when we yield to him, gives us victory over that old man. And I'm longing for the day when the battle will be over. When I don't have to wake up and shave the old man anymore. It'll all be glory. Because we'll be just like him. Just like him. Perfectly pure. How many of you disappoint yourselves when you sin? You disappoint your Savior. How many of you, like me, just get tired of disappointing? Amen. God wants us to understand there is a thing, we're positionally pure. And God wants us to walk with Him and to be practically pure. You know what happened? There was a day in David's life when he stopped practicing. When he stopped practicing, Brother Brian, he looked over there and he saw a woman. I don't know if he whistled or not, but in his heart he did. He said, boy, I'd like to have her. He sent for her. And the servant, I believe that type of the Holy Ghost in that story, said, is that not this Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? I believe the servant was trying to get in there and say, hey, don't do this. Don't do this. He wasn't practicing purity that day. You say whatever you want to. I don't believe he had devotions that day. I'm going to go ahead and say it like this. We'll ask David when we get there. I'd say the devotions fell off sometime before that. You say, preacher, I don't understand why you would preach holiness and preach walking with God. Because I'll tell you this, when we get out of that, no telling what the devil's going to do. Destroy us. Our testimony. This is a strong statement. This is truth. I hope before I bring shame on his name, he just take me out of here. I love him. I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be disapproved of God. I don't want to be set on a shelf somewhere watching from the sidelines. I want to be in the battle. I want to be like Brother Rightly Sal, and I want to stay in the field till the sun goes down. But how many knows there's one that wants to take me out of the field? There's one that wants to destroy our testimony. There's one that wants our grandchildren, our children to look at our life and think it's a joke. We have an enemy. Our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But thank God, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. God wants us to have a prayer life. God wants us to have a pure life. Let me tell you something about our prayer life. There was a man said this years ago, and I can't say that I've always practiced it, but I do make an effort not to pray for myself. I believe our prayer life is what it's supposed to be. It's consumed with others. And I believe if my prayer life is consumed with others, God will have somebody else praying for me. You listen to a lot of this modernism and this stuff going on, name it and claim it, you know, blab it and grab it. It's all about what they can get. I don't believe there's anything pure about that at all. Amen. I believe we could find ourselves early in the morning saying, oh God, this is the day the Lord hath made. I want to just be glad and rejoice in it. Lord, would you help me to cross paths with somebody today? Maybe I could say a kind word. Maybe I could just give them a gospel tract. Maybe I could invite them to the house of God. Maybe I could just get a young'un a little piece of candy or just do something to make a difference in somebody's life. And then my prayer life that morning is not about me.
It's about others and doing something. How many believe Jesus said, He said, I came not to be ministered unto. I'll just go ahead and say this. That's one of the things that's wrong with the ministry these days. That's the truth. They act like they're there to be ministered unto. But Jesus said, I didn't come to be ministered unto. I come to pour out my life and to minister to others. Others, Lord. Let this my motto be. Let me live for others, Lord. That I may live for Thee. Amen. How many knows there's joy unspeakable in that kind of life? I'll tell you something else there is. There's blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. When you get up that morning, Brother David, you get up in the morning and say, Lord, you working tomorrow, Brother David? Lord, I'm going to that same old place. Been working there for years. But Lord, you might have me to cross paths with somebody I ain't never met down there at that place, the Eastman. Lord, it might be somebody on the way to or on the way from. Lord, somebody might have a flat tire. Lord, somebody may just need a little help. Lord, somebody may be discouraged. Somebody may be defeated. You get up in the morning like that, Brother David, and you pray like that. And then tomorrow, God uses the likes of you or the likes of me to be a blessing to somebody else. How many believe our confidence level just went up a little bit? Amen. Because we saw that there's a God in heaven. This is the confidence that we have in Him. We know that He heareth us. If we ask anything. Years ago, I'm trying to quit. I don't know what time it is. And I'm in such a state right now, I don't care. Years ago, Brother Howard Robinson was in Bristol, pastoring. Brother Allen, you remember Brother Howard coming down to Liberty, don't you, brother, preaching revival for us? Short man. What was the name of the church, brother? Was it? It wasn't Tennessee Avenue. That was where Willard Tomlin was. I can't remember the name of the church. It ought to try it on my tongue. It was a big, this man had like a third or fourth grade education. But he had something that was worth a whole lot more than education. I'm not against education, but he had a walk with God. That was unbelievable. And Brother Howard, he taught us in that revival meeting. He said everybody ought to be praying about at least one thing that nobody else knows about. He said that way when God answers your prayer, you'll know. You won't be saying, well, did He hear me? Or, you know, I asked you to pray for Dad. Did He hear me or did He hear Brother Zeb? Good possibility. Heard both of us. If any two of you agree He's touching anything, amen. But Brother Howard taught us, he said, y'all to be praying about something. He said this, he said one time, he said, I really didn't, you know, have anything in particular. But he said, Lord, he said, I sure would like to have a long-handled, square-pointed shovel. Now you say, preacher, didn't he have enough money? Yeah, he did. All he would have had to do was mention to one of his men that, and I guarantee somebody had one hanging on the wall, but he just liked walking with God. And he said, he went out after praying like that. He's going down the road. This is the man that would open the car door on the passenger side when he got ready to go visiting. He did a lot of it by himself, but he said, get in, Lord. Because if you don't go with me, ain't no need me going. Amen. He walked with God. He got in that old car after praying like that. He took off down the road. And, brother, it might have been you, Brother Wayne. Might have been one of them state boys that got tired of leaning on that shovel. Amen. I'm just kidding. Amen. Amen. Might have been you, Brother Randy, one of them county boys. Amen. Amen. Picking on these men. But he said, laying right there in the middle of the road, not across the yellow line, but parallel with the yellow line, he said it was brand new. Still had the tags on it. Now, he said any other time, he said my first impulse would have been try to find out who that belongs to. But he said, when I pulled over and saw what was laying there, I knew who it belonged to. You say, preacher, you can't have that kind of confidence. Let me say this to you tonight. We may not have that kind of confidence tonight. But Brother Larry, if we'll walk with him, he can build that kind of confidence in our lives. Well, we can pray, Sister Mary, and know he's listening. No, we're talking to the God of the universe. You see, sometimes the old devil says, why? He ain't got time for you. How many knows that's a lie? Here he is keeping up with the hairs of your head, and he ain't got time for you. I believe tonight God wants all of his youngins to have blessed assurance. Blessed. How many knows it is blessed? There was a time in my life when somebody could have said, are you saved? And I'd have said, yes, sir. And there'd have been something down inside of me saying, you know that ain't right. Brother Ted asked me if I'm saved. Yes, sir. Now something down inside of me said, amen. There's a difference, amen, when it's true. There's a difference when it's true. Michael, before 3 years ago, somebody could have asked you that, and you would have said, oh, yes, sir. But down inside, someone would have been saying, you lying dog. Live like a devil. Claim to be saved. Amen. I just used Michael because he said that this morning. I reckon he's telling the truth. God wants us all to have blessed assurance. All of us. Have confidence in him. You see, Sister Margaret, I'll just share this. I prayed for something this morning that I've never prayed for in my life. Never thought about praying like this. But when we were back there in the prayer room, I prayed that God would give Sister Margaret some of that blood back. Now, wait a minute. How many knows there's a verse in the Bible that says he'll answer before you call? It's there. If I have to look it up, I will. It's there. How many knows that done something for my confidence when I came out and told her the way I prayed? And she said, it's already went from, what, 10 to 11? From 9 to 11? You say, preacher, are you bragging on yourself? No, I'm telling you, I prayed for something I've never prayed for, and that the Spirit of the living God got a hold of my heart back there and caused me to ask for something that was in agreement with him. I've never prayed that God would give somebody some blood back. But I believe I'll pray it again one day. God helping me, amen? God helping me. So God used this day already, just a little time praying with you men, to boost my confidence a little bit. Brother Ralph, the times that you've prayed for Brother Hatfield, knowing that he was at the threshold of leaving this world. Surely, brother, you've got a little bit more confidence now than you did before all that. God will build you up. Cause you to believe him a little stronger. Amen.